Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your yarn in circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from your First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bumbabrip MIDI, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service, means we go across the country, mob, and you can have your say by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, you can text the brother 045-714-0550 and check us out on Facebook as well, BBM 987 FM. Yarn up strong, and all our conversations go across the nation, like I said, through NERS, and talk about all different topics, and want to hear from you, mob. But like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours, welcome back to National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. With the Bollywood, I'm Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and I'm taking you right through to 12 noon midday, so do add to the conversation. Now, with the virus around, yes, we need to take care of your mob. Stay safe. Wash your hands regularly. 1.5 metres away from each other, each person. And also, if you're going to cough, cough into your arm or your sleeve and what have you. Use a tissue, throw a tissue away. Need to do what you need to do to keep safe, your mob. Very important. But First Nations people with disabilities are extremely vulnerable to serious infection from COVID-19, and social distancing is almost impossible in most communities, where overcrowding in houses presents an increased risk of contracting and spreading the COVID-19. We're going to catch up a yarn there with June Rima, First Peoples Disability Network Deputy Chair on the line. June, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hi, how are you?
I'm well. So thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, just let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, so I'm, as I said, June Rima, and my mob's Sangari Gumbunja. So we're on the north coast of New South Wales.
Okay.
Currently working from home from Nambucca Heads.
Yes, okay. So, look, very, very good point there has been made regarding First Peoples with disability extremely vulnerable to serious infection. And, of course, with the overcrowding of houses for our mob, vulnerable to the max, with a capital V, you could say.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're seriously concerned for, you know, a lot of our cohort around the country due to, you know, lack of infrastructure. And as we know, you know, there's inadequate housing, particularly in a lot of remote communities. The issue of overhousing cannot be underestimated at overpopulation in our housing at this stage, you know. So it's almost impossible for people to isolate from each other.
Mm.
So, you know, the issue being that, you know, people now need to be more stringent about, you know, self-care and keeping up, you know, hand washing, as you said earlier, and coughing into your sleeves.
Mm, exactly.
But also, we're quite, you know, we acknowledge that, you know, for a lot of these communities, you know, there's inadequate income or financial support. So, you know, buying the right supplies to support the household to, you know, eliminate any viral infections is almost impossible for many groups.
Well, when we talk about the lifestyle that we've been living in communities, we were behind the eight ball from the get-go. And now with this virus on top, you know, it's devastating to, like you said, the extremely vulnerable situation that our people are in.
Yeah. So, you know, I think, you know, currently, you know, the only solution that, you know, people really need to, you know, take notice of is less contact as possible, and, you know, maybe only have one designated person from a household going into, you know, outside community. And when they come back, you know, stringently wash their hands, if need to, even change their clothes.
Yes,
so
exactly.
I think, you know, we really need to think how we can minimise impact to, you know, the best advantage. I mean, we really don't need this in our communities at all. And I think, you know, if we can be the leaders,
exactly.
And that's one way of our mobs thinking about it, let's be the leaders in, you know, social isolation. assistance.
And look, I think you would agree, June, hats off to the mayors as well. They're doing their job by closing off the communities from outsiders, but we still need to do work inside the community regarding cleanliness and what have you.
And as we said, it's really difficult in a lot of, you know, some areas don't even have running water.
Exactly,
let alone other, equipment or supplies that they may need. And as, you know, we said, there's a lack of income for a lot of these communities. So how do they stock up on essentials, which now may be scarce anyway, in the few, you know, shops that are in some of these remote areas? And they're paying a higher cost.
Well, exactly. Well, you look at the panics that's going on at the moment in shopping centres, you know. So if people in rural or in cities are struggling regarding getting produce, then how is it for our people? Worse there again.
So I heard a little bit of positive this morning. They did say the army were looking at doing aerial drops to some remote communities, and this eliminates cross infection. So I think, you know, these sort of solutions need to be speeded up, you know.
Sure, exactly.
Yeah, for us, you know, we're also really concerned for the vulnerable groups in these communities, you know, with, you know, extenuating health conditions or people with disability. So, you know, how are they being, you know, appropriately supported and provided? They're at a real, you know, real vulnerable stage in the, at this moment, and they're the ones we really need to protect. But we also need, you know, health services, if possible, still getting out and service providers to these groups and not isolating them totally.
Sure. I mean, it's whole new grounds for everybody, government included, a new world we live in. But we see so many potholes in regard to the so-called attack on the virus.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, another issue that we've, you know, acknowledged and are currently, you know, politically trying to push forward, that, you know, the current advocacy services that are out and about on the ground and know these communities need to be, you know, better supported and funded to, you know, do some work out there locally. And even if it's just a phone call daily to go, are you okay?
Exactly.
You know, these are the things that need to be, you know, at this stage, you know, implemented, you know, right away. So because we're, you know, as we know, in a lot of our communities, there's high levels of, you know, intergenerational trauma and mental health. And if people are feeling anxious at this time, they need an avenue now, you know,
exactly,
to talk to someone, you know, phone a friend sort of assistance. So I think it's really now's the time for government to step up and fund some of these, you know, peak advocacy services. Another issue that we identified, so before this happened, the NDIA or NDIS were going to commit another 41 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community connectors nationally.
Yes.
So we're saying now they need to fast forward that program and get them out and about now on the ground to identify, you know, vulnerable individuals or groups that need further support.
Exactly. And emphasise the fact that they need to act now, you know what I mean? It's very important that you make that statement, and that's the message we're getting across to government.
So we at FPDN, you know, as I said, all our staff, we're all working at home but still trying to commit on the ground. So we have a dedicated area on our website that people can gain information from. But we're also putting out daily on Instagram and Facebook, you know, uplifting stories to try and get people to, you know, look after themselves but be mindful about, you know, self-care and self-care to others. And that means, you know, washing your hands, as you said, and trying to separate and just be mindful who may be in your house that may be more vulnerable at this stage.
Exactly, exactly. What's the webpage for First People's Disability Network there, please, June?
So it's www.fpdn.org.au.
Fantastic. So to all that mob out there listening, have a look at that webpage and do what you need to do to keep safe. June, a very important conversation. Thank you very much for coming to the table. You take care of yourself. All the best to you and your deadly team. And a message out there to all the vulnerable ones. Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. And everyone, please keep safe and phone a friend if you need to talk. You're not alone.
Lovely, June. Thank you very much, sis. You take care. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.
There it is. That's June there. June Arema, First People's Disability Network Deputy CEO, and also the recipient of the 2018 Impact 25 Award. So doing a fantastic job there. It makes a very important statement. First Nation people with disability are extremely vulnerable to serious infection from COVID-19, as well as our elders. So the government need to step up and make sure that we look after our old ones there, and of course the disability First Nation peoples. Have your say, Mob. Yana Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black, the deadly number, 1-800-422-416.
Come sailing from the north, coming down by raft, past this place you know called Goyoala. Goyoala, 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 Goyoala. Coming down Wangetti Way, Wangjungang, where they gonna play? Yes, with the law. Coming up Barron River, bringing laws to the people. Jabba Kanji, Yara Kanji, Borwanji, Yakalai. Yakalai, yes, I see. I want to be just like who you are. Don't want to be just like the Maori. I want to. Banks was Guyala. It was to make that fire rise higher and higher. Hey, Damari, don't you stand? I want you to give me a hand. We gonna make this fire rise higher. Come on, bury the name, 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 bury the name. Just like who you are, don't want to be just like the Maori. I want to fly high in the sky and watch this world.
Yeah, Damari and Guyala. That's Willie Brim. Big shout out, Willie Brim. Hope you're well, my brother. He's up there in Coranda, the village in the rainforest, and Jabakai Mob. Big shout out. Thank you very much. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarnin with the Bully One, Trevor, Tim, Trenty, Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service. So we go across the country, Mob. You can have your say and add to the conversation. That daily numbers 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother 045-714-0550 or check us out on Facebook as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, we still have in what's happening in the world. We've got the virus that's about, and we need to keep safe and keep clean and keep our distance, what have you, very important. But also still, I mean, life still goes on. Some people are probably thinking, well, how? I just lost my job last week, you know. But it is what it is. It's not what happens to you. It's how you respond to it. But we do have the state election still happening. And look, happy to have Sister Yodi Baskey come to join us here in the studio, and she's running for Division 4 here in Cairns for the next up-and-coming state election, and I'm going to bring her into the conversation. Yodi, very good morning. How are you, sis?
Yeah, good morning, Terry.
Yeah, good. My sister, now listen, first of all, who your mob were you from?
Okay, then. For those here in Cairns, they would know my family. My maiden name is Jewis.
Yes.
I'm the second oldest daughter of the late George Jewis, and my mum is May Nia Tadipata. We've been living here in Cairns since 1970. We moved down from TI. Mum and Dad brought us down because of work and education opportunities.
Sure.
All the things why some families have moved from the community. My mum, on my mum's side, my great-grandmother, traditional woman from Wutati, Shelburne Bay. And on my dad's side, my bloodline connections is not only to TI itself, but to Boigu. And you add to that, like salt and pepper, that Dutch, Indonesian, Malay, and that just shows how diverse our mob are.
Multicultural, fruit salad. That's up and close and personal with Yodi. Thank you very much. Now, throwing your hat in the arena, political arena.
Yeah.
Now, you've done this before. You're running as an independent, yep?
Yeah, look, back in 2010, I ran as an independent against Warren Inch for Leichhardt, the seat of Leichhardt.
Okay, federal.
Federal. And then again, federal for a Senate seat with United Australia Party. And I've gone back to my roots of independent. I resigned from the party last year and knew that I was going to put my hat in the ring for local government. And so I've gone back to my roots of being independent. So this is the third election, you could say formal election. And people said, look, you've run before. I said, no, it's because I've helped many people at the polling booth. So, you know, been the bridesmaid many times. Now I'm the bride.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Got the white dress on.
Yeah, look out.
All right, so in your area, so what vision priority for Division 4 for your constituents?
Look, there is just many, many things. And one of the things that's missing on this Cairns Regional Council at the moment, Trevor, is councillors with a social conscience for the community. We actually have a council that's more interested in bricks and mortar, unfortunately. So some of my key priorities, like everything, is about safety, council community security services. Now, and I'll talk to that point. A lot of people have been jumping up and down about the crime happening in our community here in Cairns. But the general public don't know that the council's had a security service for many years for the CBD. And they've even had a neighbourhood watch for the Chinese community in the CBD, and that was launched last year. So when we're talking about security services, I've done extensive, I guess, looking into different best model practices. And in WA, there's about 9 local government associations that have security services. So I'm pushing for that to extend it outside of the CBD through all of our regions. And that provides employment opportunities and everything else. Planning safer communities.
Well, constituents in that area would be all thumbs up. I mean, black and white.
Yeah.
I mean, crime is very high, but if there's only crime in one area, which is CBD, and it's not on the outskirts, then we have a problem, so to speak. We don't have a watchdog.
Look, you know, I think councils need to be open to options, and we just can't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And this topic of security has been discussed a lot by other candidates, but we're needing to have that roundtable, robust discussion, and one where no party politics are brought into it, but people who are genuinely concerned about community planning, and that comes into planning of planning safer communities and how we design our parks, how we design our suburbs, street lighting, all of those things, thoroughfares. So all of that affects the planning. And one of the other areas that I'm really big on, Trevor, at the moment is a lot of people don't realise that here in Queensland, prior to the changes in what we call the Balcarra law, accountability now is paramount for the councils. What I mean by that is that in the past, budgets in councils have been developed by the mayor. And so it was referred to as a mayor's budget.
Okay.
With some input by the councillors, but there was no robust community consultation. And I'm thinking about in ATSIC days when I was an ATSIC chairperson down in Queanbeyan in 1999 to 2001, 2002. If we wanted anything done in the community, we had to do planning. Our budget was a set amount, but then we had to go out and consult with the community on what their needs were. Some consultation in the past has happened, but none that you could say is quality consultation. So this changes in the law of accountability where councils can't get away with it anymore.
Sure, making decisions without constituents at the table.
So if we can't get the budget process right, anything that we're wanting in the community is not going to be right. So I'm looking forward to serving as the councillor for Division 4 for the next 4 years, because it means now we can actually go out and consult properly with our community on the budget.
Sure, have input from the constituents.
Have input.
Very important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my key priority. And we get that right, all of the things that we're needing as far as infrastructure, roads, sewage and water, they'll all fall into place.
Sure.
But if we don't get it right in the budget and have a fair distribution of the money that comes in, then we're still going to see the same thing happening that we have seen in the last 17 years with our current councillor, where all the other divisions are getting all the bells and whistles in parks and gardens and public spaces, yet our parks within the Division 4 are being neglected.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Would you know how many parks you got in your division?
Look, roughly around about 20 to 23.
Okay, rightio.
Yeah. And that's a lot of parks.
That's a lot of parks.
And I'm talking about small spaces. I mean, Shang Park in Moorabool is a very large park, one of our largest public spaces. And yes, that was redeveloped in 2014. But after I presented to Richie Bates, the council at the time, some of the concerns around the damaged play gyms and everything, and I said, look, this is a health hazard after the cyclone. No one's done anything.
Mm.
So he was able to do something about that. And then I think under Terry James, when all the changes of the boundaries happened, Terry James saw the redevelopment. But once again, I think it's a bit of an oxymoron when you've got new play equipment that's stainless steel, and our families that are living in that area that have young ones can't even play on them during the day because they're heated up by the sun.
Yeah, too hot, so wrong material.
It's all of that stuff. There's a lot of common sense that's not included in our planning and design of our public spaces, and we need to come back to what the community are really needing.
And puts another concern at the table from you is physical and social well-being.
Yeah.
So elaborate on that, please, Liz.
Look, you know, some of the areas that we're talking about have issues around public housing. Now, I'll give you an example with the changes that some of the public housing had to make to accommodate families from Cape York, from Aurukun. That's changed the dynamics of the social and emotional well-being of that community.
Sure.
And you find that some of our parkland, some of the ways that our streets are designed, it tends to cause issues around how people use those areas.
Mm.
I find that some of the areas behind Moorabool, where the Moorabool Hub is, it's unsafe for elderly who are wanting to walk to Rangeries.
Sure, exactly. Okay, yeah.
So this is what I'm talking about, the social-emotional well-being of our communities, making sure that our families are in a safe place. Those who are wanting to be frequent users of our parks are able to do it in a safe manner. Those who are local listeners, Ramsey Drive, there's a new bicycle type of ramp area at the Moody Creek detention basin. Mm. It's a catchment area.
Sure.
But if you have a look at it, brother, in the afternoons, parents have to park on the footpath
on the street
because it's on the verge
for
on the curbs
to the, yep, and
because
the
there's
site.
no car park.
Okay, yeah,
so it's a highly used area.
Exactly. Why build a park like so and activity as such for kids
provide
and not provide car parking? Exactly.
Simple things like that. Common sense stuff. Another thing is areas within Division 4 that are prone to thinking that they're in V8 supercar.
Mm.
We have problems along
speeding.
Lake Morris Road, McFarlane Road, Neighbours are complaining about the continuous use of that area and speeding along the various roads, and it's an accident waiting to happen.
Sure.
Because we have young families there. So where I'm going with that, brother, is that we're needing to have some common sense put in our planning. Mm. And when I talk about social conscious, I'm talking about a councillor or a council representative that has the heart of the community as a priority, making sure families are catered for, making sure elderly are looked after, all of those things.
Exactly.
Social responsibility.
Social responsibility. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. It was sort of slowed down in regarding the talk, but it's still a hot topic. Because of the virus, it's become a second topic. Well, it's not talked about as much, but we still have a problem regarding youth crime.
Let's talk about that. Yeah, look, we have youth crime issues, but, you know, let's get to the grassroots, the nitty-gritties. And you and I, we've had discussions outside with our First People Advisory Committee on this.
Yes.
That we've got to look at coming back at the families, and then when family issues and structures are not right, something's wrong. There's a reason why our kids are on the street, and there are reasons why they're not in the home much. So we've got to deal with that.
Sure.
There's also the issue of employment and lack of job opportunities. And crime, it doesn't matter, black, white or brindle, there are people that are doing it out there,
sure,
irrespective of the colour of their skin.
Sure.
But unfortunately, our Indigenous community seem to be targeted the most because it's the most obvious, and I'll call a spade a spade.
Sure, exactly.
So with the black
woman in there running in that seat, you can get to the grassroots of the problem situation, you know, and for what's been happening you virtually haven't had a First Nation person in that seat, and crime is pretty strong there.
Yeah.
Let's get a black person. Change is good, is what you're saying.
Look, you know, it's like this. It's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I firmly believe that the dialogue or how it's conveyed, no one has got it right. And you know yourself that when you're with the mob and you see any mob from Torres Strait, automatically you start talking Creole. You see anyone from Yarri or Cape York, Bama knows how to talk to Bama.
Make that yarn.
So what we have here is an issue is that I think how people are conveying it is, our people's not silly, but how are they conveying it? How are they getting the message across?
Sure.
And the other side of this too is that there are a lot of people who are victims of crime.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, you know, that are non-Indigenous, but we also have a lot of Indigenous people who are victims of crime
as well. Yes, exactly.
So it's not an ethnicity or what the colour of your skin is.
Mm.
Everybody is affected by crime. I mean, look, I was talking to a long-standing resident in Moorabool, near the Moorabool Hub, where the bridge is in one of the bottom parts of Swallow Street there. And she's been advocating, lobbying for many, many years for their parks to be lit up because they're victims of crime.
Yeah, exactly. So it's common sense stuff.
Common sense stuff.
All right, so there it is, having a deadly yarn here with Yodi Baski, First Nation sister who threw her hat in the political arena for Division 4 here in Cairns for the up-and-coming state election.
Local
government election. Thank you very much for coming to the program.
Yeah.
Good luck with all. How do people get in touch with you, sis?
Look, they can see me on Facebook. I have quite a large following on social media.
Spell your name there for the people?
Yep, Yodi Baski, and just look it up, candidate for Division 4. If someone is wanting to contact me, and my number is public, they can call me. It's all on the way. It's all on Facebook there on social media. And I think, you know, for many years we've been crying out for representation, and this is not about what your political affiliation is. This is about getting someone in there that's going to stand up for community.
Sure.
And stand up for the things that have been neglected for many, many years. And Division 4 has the three M's, Manunda, Moorabool and Manura.
Hello, yes.
And part of it is divided. Manura's put, you know, Reservoir Road divides Manura, so you've got that in Division 7 besides Division 4. And you have Manunda that's dividing Division 4 between Richie Bates, Division 5 and Division 4. So you could say that the three M's are right in the heartland of three divisions.
Mm, exactly. Who's the sitting member there at the moment?
In Division 4? Terry James. He's been there 17 years.
Oh, 17 years.
17 years.
So you're saying it's time for change.
Time for change.
All right, there you go.
Time for change, Bala.
Sister, all the best to you. Thank you very much. Keep in touch, eh?
God bless.
Good luck. Bye-bye. All right, beautiful yarn there. Yodi Baski and sister there through Haddon Political Arena for Division 4 here in Cairns for the up-and-coming local election. So you might want to have your say, especially here in Cairns. Get in touch with Yodi and have a yarn. And that's non-Indigenous brothers and sisters as well. Have a yarn to the Independent running in that division there. Have your say, mob yarn up strong here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. The daily number, again, 1-800-422-416.
Bitty, bitty woman, I'm a man. You used to narrow for me. Spirits were free.
Peter, Peter, woman here on your daily program. That's Tom Gertz here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. That's the number you need to call. And Yarn Upstrong here on the First Nation radio station, BBM, Bummer Brib Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Going to catch up with BK, Bernice Kelly on the line. Sister, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Trev.
How are you?
Critical time. Critical time.
Critical time in all facets, yes, my sister.
Oh, well, look, I just had some really concerning news that people should know about. I just find this astounding.
Mm-hmm.
With this stimulus package that the Prime Minister is introducing,
yes,
it's going to be 5 weeks before anybody gets any money.
Mm.
And not only that, they're going to put everybody on the cashless card.
This NDU card you were talking about.
The NDU card.
Mm, which you're against, aren't you?
This is unbelievable. I mean, say if they can afford to put these people on, the 2 million, people are going to be applying for benefits.
Mm.
And they're going to, rather than give them the $12,000, that's what they should be doing. They should be giving all those workers who have been stood down the $12,000 in administration fees, that's what that 12 grand is for, that they're going to give to Indu. This is a private corporation owned by a politician, and this is a scam. And, you know, we should be very, very concerned about where we're going to be in 6 months' time.
Yes. So it's, set up
money,
a failure.
And by the way, can I just interrupt there? New Zealand, I just read something from New Zealand. The NDU card was used in New Zealand and it brought New Zealand to its knees.
Mm.
Poverty, homelessness, domestic violence. And this was brought about by a corrupted government. Now, that's somebody from New Zealand.
Well, the old phrase is learn by other people's mistakes. Take a page out of their book.
This isn't a mistake. This is deliberate, Trev. This is deliberate.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, they're making money. They're making money. They're privatising our welfare system.
Okay. So that's
you know, this is a privatisation. We're not America. And by the way, that NDU card is underwritten by the Bank of America.
Okay.
You know, that in itself is worrying.
Mm. Not coming from our country here, decisions.
We've got private corporations, mining companies, and this guy whose corporation is, they lobbied for Serco to get a contract with the Centrelink. They sacked 800 Centrelink employees. And
well, they need them back
Serco,
now. It's all lined up at Centrelink at the moment.
A private corporation from the United Kingdom, which is registered in the Cayman Islands.
Where do you get all your information from, sis? It's out there, isn't it? Bernice Kelly. Oh, Bernice, just lost you there. Getting hot on the conversation there. In due card, Bernice Kelly is against it. It didn't work in New Zealand, is what she's stating. And look, add to the conversation. Try and get Bernice back to continue the conversation. But look, tell us your thoughts and how you're travelling. And apparently, money's, as she states, that you sign on to get your money because of losing your job. You don't get your money until about April. So there it is, and I hope that information is getting across the table. Yarn Up Song here on your National Talk Black program, 1-800-422-416. We're going across the nation thanks to NERS. We'll try and get back Bernice again, see if she's there. You there, Bernice?
Yes.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah.
All I want to say is this. The person who owns the Indu card is the president of the National Party in New South Wales. Now, I'd like to see the president of the National Party and our local federal member here in Cairns come out and justify how they can turn over $12,000 of taxpayers' money to a per person to a private corporation and delay payment for 5 weeks. 5 weeks.
That's your message. Do you understand that we're, like I said, in uncharted waters, the government as well? Or you feel as though, like, no excuse, should act?
No excuse, Trevor. They've known about these viruses since 2014. The CSIRO warned them. And what did they do? They defunded CSIRO. They defunded the serum laboratories. These are the people who make the vaccines. And they defunded our health system by billions. To say that they didn't know is criminal negligence. Negligence.
But then it affects the company. It affects the country.
In science.
The economy as well. So you think they'd be doing something like that that's going to harm the economy?
They crippled us. They have crippled this country. And when you hear people who work in the industry, work in business and that, and they say, this is unacceptable, unbelievable. In America, the Congress wants to stop their stimulus package because they see that only the multinationals will benefit, just like the global financial meltdown.
Well, someone else's loss is someone else's gain.
Reaping it in.
Yep, I hear you.
You know, this is, profit, profit, profit. And at the end of the day, the taxpayers who are paying their taxes are now going to double up their welfare bill by paying some corporation in Australia to administer their welfare.
Yep.
You're all blackfellas now.
Welcome to our world. Bernice, thank you very much, sister. All the best to
Thanks,
you.
Thanks,
Dale. Bye-bye. Bernice Kelly, being a bonnet and yarn up strong there regarding the monies and the Indu card, which he's against, and regarding monies that are given out to people now who lost their jobs. 5 weeks' wait is the statement there from Bernice. Look out to the conversation. And I talked earlier with Yodi Baski, First Nation sister there, running for the local election here in Cairns, Division 4. And a message, a phone call came through with from a caller that ancestors fought for the right to vote. So us mob need to use it and to advantage. And that's from a caller listening to National Talkback. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Baldy on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day. Long eat them bad feet.
whipping up no coil, long eaten bird peep. Long time ago, long time ago, long time ago, big lemon gum, long a my country.
Yeah, long time ago, Peter Brandy here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Give this Murray a call. Let's have a yarn. 1-800-422-416. And the Murray's the bully one, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. And we're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns, BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Okay, now AFL called on the to give greater recognition for Mangrook and Moyston as home of football. And recognition for Mangrook and Moyston as home of football is what I mentioned. Going to catch up a yarn now with Tita Sukum on the line. Tita, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, sister, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
I am Tita Sukum. I'm Gunajamara Jagwajali. I'm from the Wimmera and Western District of Victoria.
Fantastic. And so we're talking about AFL calling on to give greater recognition for Mangrook as Moyston as home of football. The first country on the widely debunked rumour that Puma inhabits the town's hilly mountain regions. So what's your take on this and what the AFL's call is?
Well, Moyston is an area at the foot of the Grampians, which is Garryworth, and it's based at the bottom of Mount William. And the game was played there from five communities.
Yep.
That gathered there in that region.
So it's the birth of football, birth of AFL, you could say.
Yes, it is. Where they come together for when they used to come down to meet and do for trading and all that sort of stuff. Through the mid-winter or halfway through winter, and people say it was warm. That's what they did. And the females, the wives and all that sort of stuff, made the possum fin ball, which is called the bunya, out of ringtail possums.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they just done and performed the Mangrook.
And do you feel though that AFL don't give much recognition because of that? And they should, you're saying?
No, they don't.
Okay.
They don't at all. They talk about the white fella that introduced it, but it goes further back than that.
Sure.
It doesn't get recognised for the Aboriginal people that had this game going 100 years before they even, white settlers come to Australia. It'd be nice for, them to recognise where it actually started from and come and have a look at Moyston.
Yes.
There's no plaques up there for the Aboriginal people, only Tom Lewis, but not the Aboriginal people.
Well, when you talk about the game, AFL, and the business entity part of it, millions of dollars, it all starts from the beginning, and the beginning is not recognised, is what you're saying, sister.
Yeah, that's it. It's not recognised, It's a big popular game right around the world known. We don't want money. We just want recognition.
Exactly.
And to say that this is actually where it started, who started it, that sort of stuff. Not just take something for granted and go, yes, it is a big game today, but have a look at your history. There's no other way, in the world that this game has played and been brought forward. It's our game. Recognise us.
And the township of Moyston all feel this way, black and white?
Yes, they do. I was up there last week and I was talking to the manager of the football club now and he was disappointed that the 150 years of AFL, VFL never recognised the Aboriginal people or Moyston, none of that.
Sure.
So it's not fair.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When you talk about the game itself and, like I said, the business side of it and the many players and how it just virtually stops the country, so to speak, Moyston should be up there in lights, the township, for what it created, the birth of AFL. It's the first time I heard of it. I must admit, my apologies, sis. So there it is.
Right.
There it is, Teddy. You know what I mean? It should be out there.
Well, it's only little signs as you're coming into a little tiny town.
And what's the sign say? Just a little small sign?
Yeah, welcome to Moyston, the home of the football, AFL football.
And that's all it is?
That's all it is on both sides. Three entries or four entries into little tiny town. There's only one little shop there. Used to be a little petrol station. No more, no petrol station.
Well, you know, I'll say this, my sister, I add to that. I mean, like Murray from the Curry, Cloncurry, and driving into Mount Isa, there's a beautiful big sign. It's a big poster board, and it's got the likes of Pat Rafter and Deborah Mailman and the Shark, you know, Greg Norman, you know, Scotty Prince. It's got a big sign. We beat them strong out here. Yeah, in regards to, you know, the people who played professional sports and entertainment and what have you. It's bigger as the stack, you could say, you know what I mean? But now you're talking about AFL, the football, you know, the business side of it, the millions of dollars and the big cup they play for. And the town of Moyston is just a dot, not even mentioned, is what you're saying. You're trying to highlight that, aren't you, sister?
Yeah, I am. Every grand final that they win, no one takes that cup back to that area.
Yes.
And recognises.
Make a good point.
Where it actually starts.
No. Make a good point, sister. Back. Make a good point.
And it is on the highway between Ararat and Halls Gap. It is the main road that goes into the Grampian.
Yep.
And no one recognises it.
Yep. So, and that's your mob's area, isn't it? That's where you come from. Yes, exactly.
Yep. You know, have it all highlighted that we as Aboriginal people started this game. Have it in lot, you know, up. So when the tourists come from all over the world and travel down that road, recognise that spot, you know.
Yes.
And recognise us.
Yeah, exactly.
As people that started this game.
Exactly. Well, we've got up here in far north Queensland and Cairns make mention of the Cockatoo family, you know, it's all my family. And look, they played AFL professional sportsmen, Shea Cockatoo and Rodney and Robert, my uncles, you know what I mean? And so, yeah, there it is, playing in this arena and not to even make mention of Moyston, Mungrook.
No.
Sad,
no.
Very sad.
My nephew, which is this mob, he plays Adelaide Crows, Wayne Malera. And he's, you know, it's out of our mob, and we've got one that plays for Adelaide Crows, you know.
Exactly. Should be more recognition there, but we're having this conversation. Hope AFL is listening. They get, you know, all AFL, NRL, everything's come to a shutdown at the moment because of this virus. But the history is the history, and that's where AFL was given birth at Moyston. So, look, good conversation. Thank you for sharing, Tidder, and all the best to
Thanks
your mob. And big shout out there to the Moyston people there and the work that they're doing in this space. Recognise it, please.
Yes.
Thank you, sis.
Yes. Thank you for calling me and asking me to come on and put my little point across as
well. Yep, a deadly point at that, my sister. You take care, Tedder. We'll be yarning soon, sister.
Okay, you enjoy your day too.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Adela Yan, Tidda Sikkom, her name is, and AFL called to give greater recognition for Mungrook and Moyston as home of football, and that's where AFL was given birth. So they need more recognition in the birth of that fantastic sport, the game that we watch, we love up there, Gazelle. Well, Moyston is where it's happening, Mungrook. So that's where it started from. Have your say, mob yarn up strong. We've got about 6 minutes left on the program. National Talk Black. That deadly number is 1-800-422-416. Yarning with the ball, you're on Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and live from the First National Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM.
I've been droving, I've been drinking, I've been Christian, I've been everything. But there's one more thing I gotta tell you before I go. Here I live in this tin shack, nothing here worth coming back. The drunken fights, awful sights, people drunk most every night.
women have them high court. Now we got them digging rigid court.